Good morning and welcome to Christchurch. Whether you worship regularly with us or you found us online, you're all very welcome. I'm Susan and I'm one of the lay readers at Christchurch. Today we're continuing our journey through Ephesians, thinking about the second part of Ephesians 2, which we've named Grace Breaks Down the Barriers. Let's start our worship with an opening prayer to welcome Jesus who is in our midst. In Ephesians 1, Paul said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with, the things we can see and understand, and the things we can't. As we come to worship you together this morning, help us to turn our hearts and our minds to you. Touch us with your spirit and empower us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." God knows the depths of our hearts, our joys, our sorrows, our longings, our fears. As we continue to worship together, let's take a moment to bring to him anything that we need to in order to free us, knowing his love, his forgiveness, and his grace. Let's have a moment of quiet. We have not always worshipped God, our Creator. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We have not always followed Christ, our Saviour. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We have not always trusted in the Spirit, our guide. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love bring us back to himself. Forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Tom was enjoying a great walk in the countryside. He'd been looking forward to this walk, getting to know the area that he'd just moved into. The weather was perfect, the sun was shining down gently from a clear blue sky as he set off. He walked a long way, enjoying the countryside around him. At one point, he struggled his way up a hill, and when he'd reached the rounded summit, he looked around him with satisfaction. And then in the far distance, down in a green valley, he saw something different, striking. He thought he could just about make out what seemed to be a garden. Fountains, exotic plants, birds flying around. Was it some kind of mirage, a trick of the light? Whatever it was, he thought it was one of the most beautiful landscapes that he'd ever seen. And although it was getting late, he determined to travel on to this faraway valley. Night was coming on now, and he could hardly see where he was going, so he decided to make himself comfortable as best he could and sleep out in the open. Earlier the next morning, he set off again, and before long, he could see that it hadn't been a mirage, it was real. But something had changed. All around this beautiful valley was a huge, impregnable wall. A high stone wall that he knew he could never climb. And search as he might, he could find no way in. He was shut out. And slowly it dawned on him that he would never be able to get to see behind this wall and enjoy the beauty of what lay behind it. He was destined to be always on the wrong side of this wall. He set off back home, occasionally looking round and catching glimpses of the beauty that lay beyond, but knowing he would never experience it for himself. He realised that he'd been born on the wrong side of the wall. Now, if that was Jesus telling the story, he'd have told it far better and told a far better story. But anyway, I've got a feeling that he might have just left it there and left it to the people to let the story sink in and take root and meaning in their own minds as time went on. Now, I guess a good many of you will be working out what the story is all about. And if you think back to our Bible reading, it should become fairly clear if you haven't guessed it already. But you'll also realise that I've only told part of the story, and fairly imperfectly at that. From our Bible reading, we were told that in the past, God's blessings had been mainly shown to and through the Jewish people, and that non-Jews were largely shut out from fully experiencing God's blessings in the same way. Although, to be fair, God's standards have been so high that not even the Jewish people themselves have been able to live in the way that God intended them to. We were, in effect, shut out from God's family. And as such, says Paul, we were without hope and without God in the world. Just let's let that sink in for a while, like a mournful bell tolling and telling us to abandon all hope, without hope and without God in the world. Nothing more that can be said or done to assist. Without God, what a totally dreadful situation. Cut off from the God who made us and made the beautiful things that we see around us, the good things, never to have a relationship with him. Being shut out of that beautiful garden valley is just a poor image of the harsh reality of how we were and the destiny we were heading for. But what does Paul also say? Well, before that, do you remember how Chris Turner last week, and told us about two words we read in Scripture that make all the difference? The situation may be unspeakably awful, and then we have those two words, but God. And here we have something very similar. Paul describes our hopeless and helpless state and then says, but now in Christ Jesus, it can all be changed. We read in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wonder of wonders, Christ has destroyed that dividing wall. The grace of God has broken down that dividing wall. The way is open to us to enter in to all that God has prepared for us. And we read in verse 17, he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you, to those who are near. For through him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So now, whether we are a Jew or a non-Jew, the way to a relationship with God, to know fullness of life, is the same. It's through Jesus Christ. None of us could come up to God's high standards, the sacrifices, rituals and offerings you read about in the Old Testament to put people right with God were but a shadow, a picture. Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, dying on the cross to take away our sin and restore that right relationship with God. Let's go back to our story for a moment with Tom. Let's imagine that Tom is standing there on the wrong side of the wall when just in front of him he sees an opening. A cross-shaped doorway appears in the wall and he's now free to walk through that doorway and enter into that amazing garden. But he just stands there looking in. He somehow won't take that step and commit himself to walking through into that new world. Well, it would be unbelievable if he behaved like that, wouldn't it? But that is just the tragedy for so many. They hear about what God has done for them and how they can have new life in Jesus, but somehow never quite get to the point of confessing their need of Jesus and giving their lives to him. Please don't let that be any of us here listening this morning. I'd urge you to ask Jesus to come into your life if you haven't done so already, asking him to take away all the wrong from your life and asking him to come and live in you by his Holy Spirit. Jesus has broken down the wall that separated us from God and has made a way for us to come back to God. And for those of us who have passed through this wall, let's realise that it's not because of anything that we've done to deserve or earn it. No, it's purely because of God's grace and mercy to us. We read that in our Bible reading last week, verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, we have no natural right of our own to be here enjoying fellowship with God. It's all because of what Jesus has done to open up the way for us. Grace breaks down barriers is the title of this talk. And in Jesus, that barrier that separated us from God has been broken down by him. So, how should that now affect the way we live? Let's realise our standing before God. Paul says in verse 19, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Again in verse 22, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Our lives should overflow with gratitude to God for what he's done for us in breaking down this barrier, and not just allowing us in, but welcoming us in with outstretched arms, treating us as his long-lost and loved children. He doesn't just tolerate us being here in his presence. He welcomes us warmly. He's overjoyed to have us here. And we're forever amazed that the eternal God of the universe has shown such love and grace to us, undeserving sinners that we were. Now, if God has broken down this dreadful wall that kept us out, how dare we erect other walls between us and our brothers and sisters? God, who has shown us such great grace, expects us to show this same grace to our brothers and sisters. You know as well as I do that silly grievances can arise within our churches over all kinds of things. Somebody says or does something and we don't like, and something like unforgiveness can begin to build up and put a wall between us and that other person. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about a servant who had a great debt and his master forgave him that great debt? But sadly, the servant went out and refused to be merciful to a fellow servant. You see, after what we've been forgiven and how much we've been forgiven by God, how can we dare to have an unforgiving attitude towards our brothers and sisters in the church? Nor in our church should we be setting up barriers, walls against our brothers and sisters based on things like gender, ethnicity, education, upbringing, social class, whatever. Back in the 1950s, and I can just remember just about that far back, but back in the 1950s when people came here from the Caribbean to work, I'm ashamed to say that in some of our churches, they didn't find a welcome. When God has accepted us, how dare we not accept our brothers and sisters? And of course, the church has a mission to witness to the world, to be showing and bringing the love of Christ to a broken and hurting world. I loved it when Pope Francis talked about the need to build bridges rather than walls. The other people might not appear to be the same as us, but as a church, we are here to live out godly standards and to show the love of Jesus in our world. Last Wednesday, we marked Holocaust Memorial Day. A Christian pastor called Martin Niemöller was living in Germany during the time that Hitler was coming to power. Now, Niemöller was one of the leaders, along with others such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of a group called the Confessing Church, who could see what Hitler and the Nazis were up to. And the Confessing Church was determined to take a stand against what was happening, to live God's standards and not to those standards of the rising culture. Niemöller is probably best remembered for the following lines. First they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Yes, the people might not appear to be the same as us, but as a church, we are here to live out godly standards and to show the love of Jesus in our world. where this world would seek to put up barriers and divide peoples, let us, in Jesus' name, build bridges and bring the love and grace of God. God's grace breaks down barriers. Let's remember, because of God's grace, that dividing wall of hostility has been broken down and we can enter in to all that God has for us. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and to those who were without hope and without God in the world. And let's live in the light and power of this and walk with one another, not putting up new barriers between us, but seeking to bring the good news and the love of God to our world. Amen.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder today that you are our peace and that you are the one who brings peace where there is hatred and hostility. And Lord, our fractured world so much needs your work of reconciliation. We think of Yemen, of hatred between people of different races, of the bitter division in the USA following the presidential election, of issues developing between the UK and Europe following Brexit. Lord, would you turn people's hearts towards you and each other? Our passage talks about being separate, excluded, and without hope. Lord, we bring to you the needs of refugees living in squalor, of desperate asylum seekers looking for hope. Lord, let them find a place of belonging. And as COVID continues to take away lives, livelihoods and freedoms, we pause to remember the now over 100,000 people who have died in our country with COVID. Comfort those who love them. And thank you, Lord, for the hope of the vaccines, the work of medics, of lab technicians, all our frontline workers. Lord, so many of us are weary in this pandemic, so many of us missing seeing family and friends. Help us to persevere, whether that's an incredibly demanding work in an ICU or living alone and staying isolated and just about everything in between. And with the news that schools will stay shut until at least March the 8th, give energy to all in the teaching profession, all those learning remotely at home, and the parents juggling work and childcare. You know, God, the pressures that brings. We cry out to you for our suffering world in this pandemic. Turn our hearts to you. Bring hope to our nations. And in the midst of everything, help us to develop hearts of gratitude for all that we do have. And finally, thank you for enabling us here at Christchurch to continue to function as church, although we cannot physically meet. Help us all in these challenging days to be kind to ourselves and to each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you to everyone involved in today's service, those in front of the camera and those behind the scenes. Thank you all too for joining with us. Paul reminded the Ephesians that Jesus is our peace. I pray that each of us will know his peace this week. A closing prayer. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.